When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We had quite a program, 2 hours in, two more to go. Let's continue with more phone calls before the guests start popping back in here. John is up next in Florida. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul, how's it going? Hey, just a quick comment. As a longtime Georgia fan, I really have no issue with what AJC is doing. If they feel like there's enough information they need to report out, and they got to start in one report, that's their job. Let them report it. All I would ask is that they finish the story. And what I'm saying is that there have been some culture issues at Georgia, but in the same sense, Kirby has addressed some of those with some disciplinary actions, not just with the players, but also having conversations with their families. So I'm just saying that if you're going to start a story, finish the story. That way you hear both sides of it. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thank you. I agree. I think sometimes people confuse a story with a problem, and stories are written about problems. But if I've read today from some opinionists saying, well, Kirby needs to deal with this. I mean, I think he has. I think that's what he's been doing. This is not somebody who's going to let discipline affect one of the greatest runs in modern college football history. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Kevin is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Maybe a little lighter topic for you than your previous couple of callers, but
sure.
First of all, longtime Kentucky guy, but mainly just like to see the SEC continue to do well. And I'm just curious about November 18th with Georgia at Tennessee. I'm certainly excited to see what Heupel's been able to do for Tennessee and how Kirby has Georgia consistently at the top of the heap, and I was just curious what you think the chances are of them both being undefeated come November the 18th.
Yeah, right now I would feel pretty strongly about Georgia being undefeated. I don't think Tennessee will be undefeated. Most likely lost the obvious game at Alabama, but everyone will say, and I agree, that it's the most difficult game on Georgia's schedule. I mean, there's not much really even close.
I imagine even a one-loss Tennessee team against an undefeated Georgia would have Vols Stadium rocking that day.
Kevin, I think that game will be huge, whatever the Tennessee record is, because Tennessee right now is trying to catch Georgia. And a game last year, forgetting what happened during the game, but leading into the game, we had a 1-3 matchup. It was the biggest matchup of the year on paper in college football. It was fantastic. Thank you so much for the call. Trey is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Trey.
How you doing today, Paul?
We're doing great.
I was wanting to give my little Before I get to what I wanted to say, I wanted to give my little sister a shout-out. She picked her team, Paul. Can you guess who it is?
No.
I'll tell you this. It ain't in the West. It's in the East. Top dog in the East. Georgia Bulldogs.
Smart sister.
Yeah. She's smarter than me. I picked the Razorbacks whenever I was 4. She's 6, so. But, I was wanting to thank Expired for not completely bashing my Arkansas Razorbacks whenever he had the complete opportunity to go full Matt from San Antonio on them. And also wanted to get you and Expired's record prediction on Arkansas.
Well, Trey, I think 8-4 sounds reasonable. I know you think it's probably going to be higher, but that's where I land.
I actually have it just one win higher. I think the losses, I think it could be 8-4 with a loss to A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, and Bama, or I could see Arkansas winning the A&M game and then dropping the other three that I named.
Well, I may change my mind, and if I change it, it will go up, thanks to your advice. Thank you very much. Kebo is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I hope Squid got his calamari at the gas station when he called.
He was going all out there.
Yeah, you know, the guy called earlier, I think his name was Larry, he succinctly said about Georgia in like 30 seconds what Squid could not say in 5 minutes. And then Trey, man, I almost fell asleep with Trey talking about Arkansas Razorbacks, but that's neither here nor there. Paul, I was thinking the other day about your show. It's called America's Barbershop, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Andy Griffith Show, have you watched it before?
Oh, sure. Grew up on that.
Classic. So the way I look at it, there's parallels. You're Andy, okay? You kind of keep the things going. You kind of poke fun, but you actually try to take care of everybody, too. You probably don't carry a gun either, I don't think, do you, Paul? But
not with me at the moment.
You pay, yeah. But anyway, so I'm going to ask you kind of, I got some guys written down. Who do you think would be Barney? It's pretty obvious, don't you think?
So you leaning toward Jim? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, yeah. Otis.
Larry.
Yep. Legend.
Now, I'm not sure about Legend. Who would Legend be?
I got Ernest T. Bass for
Ernest
Legend.
Ernest T., that would be a good one.
Goober. I got Charles from Realtown.
Yeah, I would say that's a...
Yeah. And Opie, and this is a respectful thing, Opie would be Shane from Centerpoint, because you know how you mentored him for years, Paul, about him being a sports writer and things.
Shane, so, Shane would take that as a compliment.
I think so.
Who would Aunt B be?
Tammy.
Tammy would...
Tammy, Aunt B on a bad day.
He'd be on a bad day. See, Aunt B never cursed, though.
No, I heard she wasn't very friendly behind the scenes, but Tammy cursed every other word.
Yeah, there was something about Aunt B. I know this sounds sacrilegious, but I didn't really like Aunt B.
No, she was kind of, she was just there to take care of Opie, you know. But she could make some bad pickles, too, I heard. But and then I-Man, you remember the Darlings? They come in from the hills and play their music. So, that was my list.
Now, was Gomer on Andy Griffith, too?
I had Gomer as
Shane, right?
I was thinking, no, I had Opie for Shane.
Oh, Shane. Who would Gomer be?
I was thinking Cat Daddy.
Cat Daddy, okay.
And then I thought Floyd was... Does K-Dub still call sometimes?
Yeah, he calls.
But, you know, K-Dub's fairly mellow, right, for the most part?
Oh, yeah, he's a DJ, a nightclub DJ.
Yeah, but one thing about the Andy Griffith Show, and talking about Jim, because... when Barney left the show, Paul, the show changed dramatically. I think we need Jim to be Barney because Barney means well, but he does get gets a little bit bent out of shape sometimes.
Yeah, who was the geeky? Was there a guy named Howard? Remember Howard?
Howard Sprague.
Yeah.
Who would you say for that one?
That will be a challenge.
Well, there was also Warren who replaced Barney, and he was kind of nerdy and obnoxious.
Okay, and then you had Helen. And
Helen was Thelma Lou.
Thelma Lou was Barney's girlfriend. Yeah, okay.
That's right. It was. I mean, I think as America, we need Andy Griffith Show just to kind of keep us between the lines. But I like Jim. I mean, people are kind of comparing him to the Unabomber. That's a little bit over the top, but. I think Jim's got a good
heart. That's an insult to the Unabomber.
That's bad. All right, buddy. Hey, I just want to share that with you.
Thank you. We'll take a short break. We're coming back. Tim May has been compared to a lot of famous people in history as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, welcome back. Always enjoy chatting with Tim May from the Letterman Row, longtime sports writer and columnist in Ohio. Covered the Buckeyes pretty much a couple of lifetimes. Tim, it's been too long. Good afternoon.
Yes, it is, Paul. Hey, I've never asked you this, man. Are you on snare drums there, or are you on, like, the tom-toms?
I think just tom-toms.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I can get the snare in here in a minute. Tim.
Sure. Yes.
I was asked a question the other day, and I was abruptly shocked, but maybe I shouldn't be. And the question concerns Ryan Day, and if somehow this thing doesn't turn around, is he going to be in trouble?
Well, no fan base is happy when you lose a couple of games in a row to your arch rival, you know. And that was the case with Michigan for, what, 5 years or whatever with Jim Harbaugh. Till now he's won a couple. And now Michigan is back to that level to where they invented football and ruled the Big Ten, as they always have.
I love the bitterness.
You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Huh?
Yeah, keep going.
It's kind of like when Auburn beats Alabama every now and then. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, from that sense, but Paul, you know, you understand this probably as well, if not better than anybody. We're in a new era, man. I mean, you know, 1 point separated Ohio State from Georgia last year, and meanwhile, Ohio State goes on maybe and wins a national championship, and that loss to Michigan, yeah, everybody would remember it this coming season and talk about it, but it wouldn't have had near the severity that it did. You know, that it does have, like, right now laying out there. And by that, I mean, in a new era, you know, we're in the playoff era. And, dude, I mean, 2024, there's a chance Ohio State and Michigan could play three times in a row. You know, they could play in the regular season finale, could play in the Big Ten championship game. And if they split those two, they could end up in they could be, what, 6-11 or 5-12 in the college football playoff rankings and play again. You know, I mean, it's we're in a crazy time now, and that's what I think everybody's going to be coming to grips with. But no, it never sits well with any fan base when you lose two in a row to your rival, and then on top of that, what those two losses meant. It meant you didn't play for the Big Ten championship two straight years after lording over the Big Ten, you know, for half a decade or more. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't sit well, but I don't think it puts him in big-time jeopardy unless it's coupled with about four or five other losses, you know, during the season, which my crystal ball doesn't see that happening. But, you know, it is college football.
It's always tough to lose a game like that. But yeah. it just seems like, I mean, if there's a positive of that game, it has stopped people, for the most part, from talking about the Michigan game. But how tough was that game for Buckeye fans to get over? Because I'm still hearing them talk about it now, and we're about to start the next season.
Yeah. Well, you know, college football fans don't get over close losses. I mean, just to ask Miami fans who won the 2002 national championship. You know where I'm going.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And what really bugged you about that game, and you were there. If I remember, weren't you there? I know I was there. Yeah,
yeah,
you were
sure.
There. I mean, the hit on Marvin Harrison Jr.
We had you on the day before, Tim. I mean, you're not so old you don't remember that, do you?
Yeah, no, I didn't know if you got on your private jet and flew back to Charlotte or something. No. You know, I never with you guys, you know, and your budgets. But I digress. You know, the hit on Marvin Harrison Jr. was so monumental in all kinds of ways because at the least it was, you know, right. But at the least it was a personal foul. You know what I mean? Yeah. And but the flag was picked up after it was ruled not targeting. And from then on, you know, Ohio State was settled for a field goal.
I guess, Tim, you thought it was targeting, right?
I thought it was a personal foul. I thought he hit him in the neck and neck and head area. That's a personal foul.
I mean, we are now, what, literally six months later, and we're still talking about this one play.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, I mean, you know, you're asking me what Ohio State fans are probably dwelling on.
Okay.
It's something like that, just like the strip fumble against Clemson back in whatever that was, 2019 or whatever, that was ruled an incompletion, you know, even though the guy took three steps with the ball. I mean, there are all these things that, yeah, people hang on when you lose a game like that. And, of course, you know, the poor effort at a field goal there at the very end, you know, but that's the way it goes. But Ohio State was about to put a knot upside Georgia's head. Instead, Georgia came back and Stetson Bennett, you know, if Stetson Bennett doesn't already have a statue down in Georgia, I don't know what you have to do to get a statue down there, you know, in this new era. but the bottom line is, you are left talking about that, and you're left looking at what Ohio State's got coming back, and as good as Ohio State looks on paper coming back, you know, the big question is the offensive line losing three starters of that magnitude, and then your starting quarterback who is the second player taken in the NFL draft. So that's what, you know, you're dealing with, But yes, to answer your question, yeah, that Georgia game took a little bit of a sting out of the Michigan game, especially, I don't know, it was such a weird day probably for Ohio State fans because they enjoyed watching TCU beat Michigan. But then you got to do this, you got to take care of business yourself, as the saying.
So, Tim, who's going to replace C.J. Stroud?
You know, the odds-on favorite clearly is Kyle McCord. He was the backup for 2 years. Devin Brown had to miss the last, week or so of spring ball because of getting a fracture in the pinky on his throwing hand, you know, falling through against a helmet, I do believe. And he's good to go now and stuff. But you just kind of look at the tea leaves. The tea leaves point to Cal McCord, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be a competition in the fall. And if suddenly Devin Brown just steps up, you know, it wouldn't be without out of the realm possibility of him being the guy. But you know, Ryan Day has not named a starter officially, but Cal McCord, you know, he's got two things going for him. Number one, he's pretty damn good. Number two, he's a backup for 2 years and started a game along during those years. Played a whole game against Akron when C.J. Stroud had a sore shoulder a couple of years ago and won that game against Akron, though. But then number three, he's got a long, long relationship with Marvin Harrison Jr., to whom he threw during high school years. So it looks like he'll be the guy. But in my opinion, the more important question is who's going to be the right tackle and maybe even the left tackle, but definitely the right tackle and maybe center. But because those are three vital spots, because they've got, you know, Paul, you can look at the roster yourself. They're loaded on offense in terms of returning players and big-time possibility of big-time players on the offense. It's just you got to have a launching pad.
Talking to Tim May, Tim, we know about Ohio State based on what you're telling us. What about the rest of the Big Ten? Is it the usual suspects, Michigan and Penn State?
Yes, and Michigan, you know, you have to tab Michigan as the favorite going into the season just because they've done it 2 years in a row and they've got their quarterback
back.
By
the way, how about that Michigan schedule, Tim? East Carolina, yeah. UNLV, and Bowling Green to start the season, and then Rutgers.
Yeah.
And Nebraska.
Going bowling.
I mean, it's absurd.
Speaking of going bowling, I'll tell you what, though, Paul, I've got my eye. Now, not in a way that maybe they're going to upset Michigan, but I'll tell you, Matt Rhule was not a very good pro football coach, but he was a hell of a college coach. And he's done a hell of a job in the transfer portal realm. And then another team I've got my eye on because suddenly now they've got a quarterback because because of Michigan, is, believe it or not, is Iowa, with Cade McNamara now moving there as the quarterback, the guy who took Michigan to win over Ohio State and in the college football playoffs a couple of years ago, and then got, quote, beat out, end quote, by J.J. McCarthy last year. Those are interesting teams to me in the West. And then what Luke Fickell is doing at Wisconsin, a true makeover at Wisconsin offensively, coming into the modern era. You know, they're coming into the spread, look like the spread era when everybody else is kind of like moving away from it a little bit. But at least they're playing catch up. But yeah, I mean, I don't think the Big Ten by any stretch is a cakewalk for anybody. And it's interesting that we're looking still, though, at Michigan, Ohio State probably into the regular season playing for a berth in the Big Ten championship game.
Tim May with us, who covered the Buckeyes. How long did you cover the Buckeyes? 35 years, 40 years?
Well, I'm still doing it, really, for LettermanRow.com, and I've got my podcast and stuff. But I've been doing it since 1984, so this will be my 40th season covering Ohio State football.
And you covered a lot of coaches, but I can't remember one you grew closer to than Urban Meyer. I know you guys vacationed together on his yacht. So what's up with Urban these days?
Yeah, got to get that yacht fixed, man. We were put in port there for a while. I don't vacation with Urban. I do a thing with Urban called Urban Steak during the season. I did that last year and enjoyed doing it. And Urban's son, Nate, just got married this past weekend back up here in Columbus. No, I was not at the wedding. But, you know, you and I have had discussions about Urban. That's why you brought him up. I mean, you know, the guy was a hell of a college football coach. And I know there's a documentary out there floating around sometime, but somewhere.
August.
But I'm under the impression they didn't talk to any – they only talked to people who had a gripe. So, you know. You know what you get when
Tim,
you get a documentary like that.
In fact, they did talk to me, but they reminded me it was like an 8-hour deal. But they reminded me at one point that, hey, we're not talking about Urban Meyer after Florida. So it was more difficult for me to go nuclear on him. I had to keep repositioning myself. But yeah, it's a big time deal.
Yeah, that's what Putin keeps repositioning himself too. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's, I mean, you know, Urban Meyer's one of the
great
college football coaches of all time,
man.
Well,
my question, though, is he, I mean, I know he keeps saying has no interest in coaching, but is he coming back at some point, or do you really believe he's done?
I don't think he is, Paul, because, you know, I've asked him a million times, and he kind of laughs at speculation out there sometimes. I think he's, you know, obviously takes some pride in the fact that some people think, you know, he could do it again and turn a program around again, but I don't think he has the interest in doing that. I mean, this transfer portal NIL era is going to wear out a lot of people, I do believe, you know. And, I mean, you know, I'm really curious, like you are, right, about what's going to happen with Colorado the next two seasons. I'm giving Coach Prime a little bit of a pass this year, even though they could surprise some people because they've gotten some really good players in there that they didn't have before. But you get rid of so many guys, that's tough. But you know, it's a total different era for coaches. It's not like when Bear Bryant and Woody Hayes and people, Darryl Royal and those guys were all holding court. I mean, it's a 24/7, 365 deal now in terms of the player personnel. And I'm not sure he would like that unless he could get his whole old gang together, and they kind of like where they are at Ohio State.
So true. Tim, before you go, Tim May with us, who spent many, many years working in the newspaper space. That is no longer really viable. Now he does a podcast and Letterman's Row. I always like to ask you about the world today. And
yeah.
I mean, there are no newspapers, even though they're occasionally seen on front steps across the land. But talk to us about the changing world through the eyes of someone who goes back to newspapers as far back as the 80s.
Yeah, and Paul, you do too, man. You go back a ways, not as far as I do, but you know, you would write your one story or two stories for the next day, and you were done, right?
Yeah, but now but Tim, yeah, I go back before you, but I got out of it a long time ago, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I know you did, but you were back when they used to bring bushel baskets full of money into the front door of a newspaper to ask if they could buy an ad, and being told, no, I'm sorry, we're full for tomorrow. You know, it was a situation where they weren't used to selling ads. They were used to collecting money for ads, you know.
The very first week I worked at the Birmingham newspaper, I was the only guy there after dinner, and some guy came up. It was a father and a son, and they came up to me. They said, we need some help. I said, well, what do you need? He said, my son wants to commit. I said, commit to where? He said, I didn't know anything about the area. He said he's a all-state player. He wants to commit to Auburn, and I had to. I said why? And I didn't understand it because Auburn had just gone on probation. And naturally, they got very upset and called the editor and said I was biased toward Alabama on my first day on the job. But that's how far back I go.
That wasn't Bo Jackson, was it?
It turned out to be Bo, and I had no idea.
Well, yeah, he was from right down the street there, right in Bessemer or whatever. But, that's what's changed most, Paul, is like the urgency now. But then on top of it, the thing that's really got to hang in there is the vigilance in terms of getting things right, getting facts right and stuff. And that's kind of slipped a little bit. But, you know, just this churn when it comes to covering recruiting right now in the major college ranks, especially the big-time programs, you know, it's a little bit maddening and as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, Joe Blow just got back from Kokomo State and said he really liked his visit, you know. Now he's going to visit Alabama, you know what I mean? But, that's what's really changed. But there's a select audience there that's really cued into that stuff. And we all know, you know, as Woody Hayes wrote a book, I mean, you win with people. It is about recruiting, just like you just, your little example there. But it's stunning how much it is. But it's stunning how well-known recruits are before they ever show up on campus anymore. And but then past that, I mean, deadlines, it's a deadline every minute. It's a deadline anytime you want to make a deadline now, in terms of the news aspect of things and breaking news and finding out a player got hurt at practice and making sure you've confirmed that before you put it on Twitter or put it on your website and things like that. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of checks and balances that still need to be followed. Some do, some don't. But, you know, the get there first and then maybe correct it later is sort of what it's all about right now to a certain extent. And I'm not putting a blanket on everybody, but newspapers have turned into websites. I mean, the Columbus Dispatch was the first newspaper, I do believe, in the entire world on the internet. CompuServe was located right here in Upper Arlington, Ohio, and right up, you know, suburb of Columbus, and they wanted something to have. They didn't want just an internet there with nothing on it, and they started putting our newspaper on the internet, and I think they eventually had the New York Times on there and other things, so things really took off, but newspapers were in position to dominate the new realm, but they thought the new realm was a fad and was going to go away because who's gonna sit at a computer and read stories, you know?
Truly amazing.
Even though we were already writing stories on computers. Go ahead now.
No, you're right. And listen, I don't want to sound like two aging journalism professors talking about the way it is because people just want the news, and I thought the best point you made is every guy that comes back from a visit is a four or five star, and he's the best player at that position, and fans just don't realize that these guys don't always pan out.
No, they do not always pan out. You know, but I remember Joe Tiller finally gave up when he was at Purdue. Finally gave up even going after five stars, and maybe it might have been even covered some most four stars because it wasn't worth the hassle, but. Here's the thing. If you recruit a four-star and he turns out to be a three-star, well, you still got a pretty good player there. But if you recruit a three-star and he ends up being a two-star, you know, you got to have a lot of E, which means effort going on that entire football team. So the more five-stars and four-stars you recruit, the more chance, the more room you have for making mistakes in that realm in terms of talent evaluation. And that's why it's a big deal. But like you just pointed out, you know, Joey Wonderarm goes to, blue chip school A, and suddenly they're interested in him. And suddenly he goes from a four star to maybe a borderline five star, and vice versa. Another guy, goes the other direction, and suddenly he slips. I mean, you know, I put stock in the star thing because there's a lot of guys in this business that I truly believe and trust their judgments on things. And most of them are getting consensus to a certain extent, not just trusting their own eyes as experts, but getting consensus from coaches and other people who evaluate talents. Did I say peoples? Other people who evaluate talents. Yeah, it's still a nebulous world, you know that. And you can be the greatest football player in high school, but as a defensive lineman, and suddenly instead of going against 250-pound offensive linemen, you're going against like Alabama or Georgia's front, and you're going, oh, my goodness, it's a new day.
What an incredible conversation with Tim May, always one of my favorite moments of the early summer. Tim, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll talk soon. As the season is around the corner, your phone calls are as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Game in that league.
Hey, welcome back here. Glenn is up next. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Great. I don't want Jim to quit the show. I like him. He's an Alabama fan, and plus, he's entertaining. He makes me laugh. I hope he don't quit.
He does bring a lot of laughter.
Yeah. I watched the Sugar Bowl last night from last year.
Yeah.
And we got some receivers because Bryce Young, he threw 4 touchdowns to 4 different receivers. And also, I'd just like to see Milroe come through for us for quarterback.
Yeah, Glenn, I think the reports of Alabama's death have been greatly exaggerated. Thanks for the call. Expired is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Things are well.
Great. Hey, wanted to respond to Trey from Arkansas. You know, I wanted to, you know, tell all the Arkansas people and everybody affected by the passing of Ryan Mallett, you have our condolences and you know, especially the Arkansas fans and the family of Ryan. And quick story, first time I ever heard of Ryan Mallett is, I don't know, 2004, 2005, I'm not really sure. I was at a coaching clinic in Dallas. And make a long story short, I was a real young coach at the time, and a guy sat next to me and said, hey, let me buy you a beer. And we started talking football, and that was Barry Norton, the head coach at Texarkana High School in Texas, one of the premier high schools in the state, and he started talking to me about Ryan Mallett and his arm and everything he could do. And the next thing I know, the guy's playing for Arkansas and playing in the NFL. And that's just a quick story about, you know, how big back then a name was and how hard it was to, you know, kind of find out who people were because we didn't have the internet or it wasn't as prevalent as it is now it is today. And so anyways, condolences to you guys. Looking at Arkansas schedule and me being honest, taking my maroon shaded colored glasses off, which is real hard to do, I see at worst Arkansas 8-4. I see, you know, bullseye 9-3. I could see them going 10-2. And yes, when you got a quarterback like KJ Jefferson and a running back like they have, those guys can take over games. And you know, I can see them playing A&M tough again and it going down to the last possession like normal. So I really I see them getting beat by LSU. I see them getting beat by Alabama at Alabama, and I see the A&M game a toss-up. They're going to absolutely crush.
You know, something inspired as I look at the schedule a little bit closer, I think 9 is doable.
I do, too.
I thought they had a really tougher non-conference slate, but you know, BYU at home is going to be pretty manageable.
I think they're going to nail BYU. You go on the road to Mississippi. Lane Kiffin, they sputtered last year, and I think they're going to continue
I think that Florida game is very winnable on the road, and they could close out the season on a really big note. Hey, thanks, Expired. Appreciate it. We head to the break, went a little bit long with Tim May. We will make up for lost time when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. Bobby is up next in St. Augustine. Hello, Bobby.
Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
The man that wrote Rocky Top died today. Today or yesterday. I was wondering if you ever got a chance to meet him.
No, it's interesting. You're talking about Bobby Osborne. He was part of the Osborne Brothers.
Yeah, reported Rocky.
They were the first group, and it's probably the most famous rendition. The only thing I am not certain about, I know they recorded it and it became a huge hit. I'm not positive that they wrote it, but I'll double check. I always vaguely remember somebody else writing the song.
You might have me there. Okay. Just with he was a
very famous bluegrass musician.
And just being the incredible Tennessean that you are, I was wondering if you ever your path ever crossed.
Sadly, not that I'm aware of, and I do not think so.
All right, Paul. Hey, thank you so much, buddy. I hope you have a really good night.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he did pass away, and. Jamari confirmed what I believed. The Osborne Brothers, which includes Bobby, obviously, they were the first to record it. It became a huge hit. It was written by a couple, but that's not unusual in the terms of music. Thank you very much. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How's life going?
Very well, thank you.
Well, you might not remember me, but I was the guy that called about C-SPAN and TV antennas 2 weeks ago.
Yes, I do remember.
Yeah, well, I just want to say I'm done with C-SPAN. I'm just done. Because I tried calling C-SPAN on Friday, and I was stuck in their waiting, holding center. I don't know what you call it, but they kicked me out of the call for some reason. I don't know why, but hey, I'm just glad you didn't kick me out of this call.
Mike, what was your question going to be to C-SPAN in case I see anybody from C-SPAN?
Well, I don't think of questions like that, but hey, don't worry. I was going to mention your name and O.J. Simpson, so okay. That might give you an idea.
Yeah, I think first of all, I think if you had identified yourself as O.J., you would have gotten through more quickly.
Yeah, well, I don't know how that would work, but I just want to say, I don't call this show a lot because, this is my second time, and I don't even listen to this show that much.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I called is because, I only recognize you from a few things. Like I remember back when used to work for CBS 42, that's how I only remembered you. But, I just want to say.
So, Mike, you are the one person who saw me on that channel.
Hey, I prefer ABC 3340, but I saw you in that promo, sports promo back in 2001. So, right. I have to say, I wish that national championship games for any sport, whether it's college football or college baseball or whatever, be broadcast like ABC or CBS or some other broadcast network. Because I don't like going to ESPN and,
What don't you like about ESPN's broadcast?
I mean, it's kind of lame. I mean, you know, I didn't watch the, I didn't watch the national championship game, you know, with Georgia, because, you know, I'd rather watch Monday Night Raw. So, you know, I prefer
WWE. So, Mike, instead of watching the national championship game, you watch Monday Night Raw?
I mean, yeah, they were in Birmingham, so, you know, I had to watch. Yeah. I had to watch.
Okay.
I had to tune into USA, the USA Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, I feel like we're going to leave this phone call. I don't feel like we've gotten to the root of your problem.
Yeah, we gone far away, you know. So, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Well, you be well. You be careful, but be well.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, I am worried. I'm worried about the next person who sees you. We will take a brief break. We'll try to get Mike some help.